The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, he does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father, the Gospel of the Lord.
During the Easter season, the Gospels that we read either describe Jesus' appearances to his disciples in these 40 days between Easter Sunday and his ascension into heaven, or they are passages from the Scriptures that Jesus spoke before his death, which are filled with mystery and only make complete sense to us after the resurrection. That's the case with our Lord's words today, in which he speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd. There are several times when Jesus uses this image for himself. The image of the shepherd was one that the people could understand. Many of them were shepherds. They knew what it was to keep watch over the flock, to do so faithfully, to protect their sheep, to make certain that they were fed, watered, pastured, and free from marauders. In today's gospel, Jesus is speaking in Jerusalem, in the temple. And as he speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd, and of the unique qualities that are his because of his authority as Son of God. And that is what was not understood fully until after his resurrection. He says some five times, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, a shepherd might put himself at risk caring for his flock, but a shepherd was not expected to die for the animals. But Jesus is speaking about his love for us. We are his flock. He's speaking about his death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That's a very mysterious line, and when we realize that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God the Father, then we ask ourselves, how can he say that we know him in the same way that he knows God the Father? It can only be because Jesus shares with us his divine life. He doesn't simply make us good. He doesn't simply forgive our sins by his death on the cross. He shares with us divine life and establishes with us a new relationship. He abides in us, dwells in us, and we dwell in him. I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father loves me because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. St. John emphasizes this very much in his gospel. He wants us to understand that Jesus, as the Son of God made man, has power and authority. He's not defeated by his death. His life isn't taken away from him by someone more powerful. He lays it down for us. We understand heroes. We recognize them. We extol them. We honor them, whether they be on the front page of the newspaper or the front page of a comic book. A hero is someone who, with great bravery, courage, power, defends those whom he loves and protects those whom he cherishes, even at the cost of suffering, even at the cost of his own life. That is why Jesus died on the cross for us, to teach us love, to teach us what God's love for us truly is, so that we not only would be reassured and confident in God's love, but so that we could imitate, emulate, reproduce that love, go beyond ourselves, beyond the limits of the human and the ordinary in daily life, and strive for the ideal of Christ, so that what we do for our families is even greater than others who do not know him. What we do for strangers is even greater than those who do not know him. That's why the Romans in the first centuries were so amazed by the behavior of Christians, by their kindness, their charity, their generosity. See these Christians. See how they love one another. This lack of selfishness was astonishing to Roman society. The respect, the love, the care that the early Christians had for the poor, the sick, the helpless, the downtrodden, the forgotten. This was a novelty. It was a novelty because Christ made all things new. He who died in the form and shape of someone embracing a loved one gave to us by his death a pattern to follow in our living. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. And I have the power to take it up again. These are Christ's words in today's gospel. They wouldn't have been fully understood even by the disciples until Easter Sunday, when they saw him. And even then, some had to put their hands into the place of the nails and the lance in order to believe. In addition to this gospel, we're given the Acts of the Apostles as the first reading in this season to show us the history of the early church, to detail for us how the apostles preached, what they said, and how many converts they made. 5,000, according to today's first reading. And Peter said to the people to whom he spoke, "Not only is Jesus Son of God, but he is the only source of salvation. The only source. No one can come to the Father except through me." Those are Jesus' words. And the church has received them, pondered them, reflected on them. There is no salvation apart from Christ, because salvation in its essence is union with God, the Holy Trinity, union with the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit, and spending eternity in the life and love of the most blessed Trinity. The way to that life is Christ and Christ alone. That's why Peter in today's first reading said that there is salvation in no other name, because Christ is the one mediator, the one way of salvation. He's the only one who can give access to the Father through the Holy Spirit in the glory of his own passion, death, and resurrection. And that's why he has come into this world. That's important for us to ponder, important for us to consider. It is the church's perennial and perpetual teaching. Now, what does that mean practically? Does that mean that anyone who is Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or Taoist can't go to heaven? Is that what it means? Well, no, not at all. That's not what the church says. The church says all salvation comes through Jesus, not through anyone else. You don't get to go to heaven because of Muhammad or because of Krishna or because of anyone else. Only through Christ. So in heaven, you'll meet all kinds of people who were Muslim, Buddhist, Taoist, and Hindu. They'll just all be Catholic. And I say that quite accurately because, after all, no one who is in heaven can be there because of a lie, or because of a mistake, or because of a falsehood. In heaven, for heaven to be heaven, we all have to have the truth and the fullness of the truth completely. And we will possess this truth in joy. In joy. When we're in heaven, they won't regret the fact or bemoan the fact that they're not seeing the Lord Krishna as the center of things. And you won't bemoan the fact that you had to give envelopes every week and they didn't. Everything will be worked through because we will see things as they truly are. Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was a news article that some of you may have seen that caused more than a little upset for people. It was an article about Pope Francis. And one of the things you can be very sure of is that when the secular press has an article about Pope Francis, there's usually about this much distance between what the Pope said and what's in the paper. So in this case, the headlines read, "Grieving boy told by Pope, atheist father is in heaven." And then a short article ensued. I watched the entire episode on Vatican television. So I know what was said and how it was said, and that's what I'm going to tell you about now. So the Holy Father went to visit a Roman parish. And in the course of his visit to the parish, in addition to celebrating Mass and visiting school and youth center and so on and so forth, there was a gathering outdoors of the parishioners with the Holy Father so that he could speak to them and so that representatives from the parish could ask questions. And one of the questioners was a little boy of about 9 years of age. And when he got up to the microphone, he was very nervous and he couldn't speak. So one of the Monsignors went over to him and tried to encourage him, but he was still too nervous. So the Pope asked for his name, and when one of the attendants told him the boy's name, the Holy Father said, "Emanuele, come up here, come and see me, and whisper your question into my ear, and I'll whisper my answer back to you. And don't worry about anybody else around you." So the little boy ran up to the Pope, and he whispered in his ear, and they had a conversation back and forth. And then the Pope asked the little boy a question, and he ran back to his family. So the Pope said, "Emanuele told me that I can tell you what he asked me and what I said to him. So Emanuele told me that his father died recently, and his father was an atheist." Now, footnote here. An Italian atheist may not believe in Jesus Christ, but still believes in the Madonna. Those of you who are Italian know what I'm saying. So, he said, "My father was an atheist. Is he in heaven? Is my dad safe?" And so the Holy Father asked him, "Was your dad a good man?" And he said, "Yes, he was a very good man." And the Pope said, "But you're Catholic." He said, "Your dad let you be baptized?" And the little boy said, "Yes, he let me be baptized, and my brothers and sisters, we're all baptized." And the Holy Father said, "Well, you know, your father must have been a very good man, because he let your mother keep the promise that she made when they got married, that she would have you baptized and bring you up in the church." He said, "You know, that's very hard for a man who says he's an atheist. It's easy for a man who says he's Catholic to let his children be baptized. But for a man who says he's an atheist to let his children be baptized, that means that he loves and respects your mother very much. And he let her do this good thing for you." And the little boy nodded his head. And so the Pope said, "So, if your Babbo was so good that he let you be baptized, then surely Jesus knows that, and he would find a way to bring your dad to heaven." And the little boy was very happy, and he ran back to his place. Now, what value do those words have? It is our Catholic faith that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world, and that without him and without his church, there is no salvation. But those who do not know that Jesus is the Savior, those who do not know his church, are not responsible for that knowledge. We will be judged on how we have lived our lives. If we have faith, we will be judged on our life of faith. If we have not lived a life of faith, then we will be judged on how we have lived as best we can out of conscience. Have we lived according to those commandments that are written into every human being, what we call the natural law? If we have lived in that way, then we can believe that God in his goodness and mercy, will throughout our lives give us opportunities to know him. And at the very last moment, in what scientists call the nanoseconds of our existence, between the separation of soul from body, God will show himself and tear away all the false masks and misunderstandings that we have put up against him to show himself to us as he really is, all good and deserving of all our love, so that we can choose him and go to heaven. So we all look for the sake of the people whom we love, who do not share our faith or who have no faith. We look at the signs of natural goodness in their lives and we say, Lord, remember this. Be kind to my loved one. Let him hear the words that you spoke to the good thief. This day you will be with me in paradise. That's our hope, that's our trust, that's our prayer for everybody. For everybody. And that's what the Holy Father was using towards this little boy, so that he would have trust that a loving God would not reject this loving father that this little boy had known for all too short a time. That's our attitude. That's the way we think. That's part of being Catholic. And to our young boys and girls, dressed all in red today, that's something that you have to learn and understand. I hope you learn it and understand it by the example of your parents. But whether you learn it young or whether you have to learn it older in life, these are lessons about our faith and the deep meaning of our faith that are meant for you so that you can be reasonably happy in this life and overwhelmingly happy in the next life. Reasonably happy in this life, overwhelmingly happy in the next life. Remember the details of the contracts. So today's gospel has a lesson for all of us, and it fits in very well with this confirmation day of coming to parish mass and of celebrating not only with your families, but with the larger family of the church, so that you can begin to take up your place in the church, and that we who are older and who sometimes for various reasons forget our place or forget how important it is might rediscover it again and know the joy of having a good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep and teaches us as priests and as lay people, as husbands and wives, as mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, uncles and aunts, to lay down our lives in little ways, every day, over and over again, for those whom we love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.